You're listening to But Wait, There's More. This is our Faith Made Clear series, short conversations where we believe clarity is kindness, and kindness starts with truth.
Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. Today we're talking about one of the most mysterious, yes, beautiful, absolutely, and mind-stretching truths of the Christian faith. We're talking about the Trinity. You know, I think it's kind of funny. We try so hard to explain the infinite God who, that's why he's worthy of worship, because he is so far beyond us in every way. But we try to explain him away using our finite brains. And I don't know what your image you learned growing up or along the way, what's been put in front of you, but people have said, well, God is like, he's like H2O, he's solid, liquid, and gas. He's like an eggshell and the yolk and the egg white. He's like a three-leaf clover. And in some way, for a moment, every metaphor seems to work until it really doesn't work. And so my hope today isn't to shrink God down to something we can fully grasp, but instead to give us clarity about what the scripture teaches and maybe a little peace with the mystery that we can't eliminate. So let's walk through this together. Best place to start is always with the scriptures. You know, the word Trinity does not appear in the Bible, but the reality absolutely does. Scripture begins in the beginning with the Father, with the Spirit hovering over the waters. And we're told when we get to John chapter 1 that Jesus was there as well. The Word was God, was with God, and all things were made through him. So in the beginning, we have the Trinity, and we see that Scripture in like Deuteronomy 6:4, the Shema says there is one God, and we find that he exists eternally in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not three gods, not one God who switches forms or changes costumes, but one God, three persons, co-equal, co-eternal, one in essence, and yet distinct in personhood. You see this throughout the scriptures. I love the moment at Jesus' baptism when you see the Father speaking from heaven, his voice ringing out saying, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." You see the Son standing in the water, committed to the will of the Father and the mission that he had been sent on. And you see the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, descending in a physical form like a dove. And Jesus prays to the Father over and over in the Gospels. The Father sends the Son. We see that. Jesus confesses it. The Spirit glorifies the Son. Three persons, one divine being, working together in perfect unity. Tim Keller called it the divine dance that has existed for all time and eternity. Christianity didn't invent this, but Jesus revealed this. And the early church simply gave language to what the Bible already had shown us. And so here's where clarity and compassion both matter in this conversation, because the Trinity, it's just not easy to wrap your mind around. We instinctively reach for metaphors to try to make some sense of the mystery. H2O, solid, liquid, gas. It sounds helpful, but if you keep going down the road, it ends up teaching modalism, where you've got one person taking on different forms at different times. I remember as a kid, I was told the Trinity, it's like an egg, the shell, the yolk, the white, but it breaks down at some point because each part is not fully egg. It's just partial egg. It's just the yolk. It's just the shell. I'm not eating the shell. So it leads to partialism. Maybe you got a tattoo or saw a picture, an icon, an image of a three-leaf clover. Same issue here. Three parts, but none are fully the whole. They're all just a part. Think about math. 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. That's not Trinity. That's just three. That's heresy. Think about multiplication, though. 1 × 1 × 1 = 1, which is closer, but still God's not a math equation. You know, every metaphor collapses because the reality is God is not like created things. The Bible calls him holy, which literally means other. He's set apart from all other. So if the Trinity feels beyond you, that's good news, because if God were small enough to fully explain, he wouldn't be big enough to worship. God is not asking us to solve him. He's inviting us to know him. Father, Son, and Spirit, relationally, not mathematically. You don't have to master the mystery to experience the beauty of the person of God. The Father loves you, the Son saves you, and the Spirit dwells in you. Three persons working in perfect unity as one God for your redemption. That's the doctrine of the Trinity, but more importantly, that's the gospel. So what's it matter? How do we live this out? How do we practice faith in a God who is one and three? Well, I'll give you five things. One, worship the fullness of God. We worship one God who is Father, Son, and Spirit. Worship him with equal honor and glory. I find myself sometimes praying, Father, and I'll talk to Father God when I think about his protection and his provision and his will in my life. I'll pray sometimes, Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for making a way for me. Thank you for loving me. And then sometimes I'll pray to the Holy Spirit, who I think of more than anything else as like God being my friend. Because what is a friend? Someone who is with you at all times, helping you, lifting you, calling you up. And that's exactly what Jesus said the Holy Spirit, what he would be for us. And so sometimes I pray to the Holy Spirit, would you help me? Would you enlighten me? Would you help me to see? Would you help me to grow? So worship with the fullness in mind of God. Second, pray with Trinitarian awareness. Like I've just said, we pray Father, we pray through the Son, we pray in the Spirit. It shapes our prayer life when we remember who is doing what in our salvation. Number three, embrace the mystery with humility. The goal isn't complete comprehension, it's faithful confession. This is who God has revealed himself to be to me. As I've known him, this is who I know him to be. Number four, let the Trinity shape relationships. God exists in eternal community, unity without competition, distinction without division, and Christian community should reflect that. Honor and love and humility and self-sacrifice and giving of self. So let the Trinity shape your relationships here. And number five, remember that this truth is not a theoretical truth. It's not just something that's too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. It is a real present and personal truth. The Father planned your salvation. The Son accomplished it. And the Holy Spirit applies it to your heart. Every moment of your Christian life is Trinitarian. So here's my prayer for you today, that you would stand in absolute awe day by day of the God who is bigger than our categories, that you would worship the Father, trust the Son, walk with the Spirit, and that you would rest in the beauty of a God who is not small, not simple, and not like anything in creation, and yet who invites you close. Thanks for listening today, and until next time, let's keep walking in truth and in love together.